Amen. Prayer is good. And I mentioned how next Sunday night, Gene's going to be leading a prayer service here for the persecuted church. But he also, on a monthly basis, Gene leads another prayer service that happens at St. Joe's Hospital once a month on a Thursday morning at 10 o'clock. And that prayer is just a time where believers of all different kinds of, from different churches get together and pray for the city of Thunder Bay. And I was telling Gene after last Thursday's prayer time, like you could just sense that there was this anticipation in the room. Like people were praying and really believing that God was going to do something significant in the city of Thunder Bay. And I don't know about you, but that just gives me hope, because that's the desire of my heart as a pastor in the city, is to see God move in power all over the city of Thunder Bay, not just in Transformation Church or just here in our context, but all over the place. Before I, actually it was quite a bit before I went back to Moncton, I worked in Graham and Ann Island as a lobster fisherman for a couple years. And one of the things, like especially in the Bay of Fundy, you don't really get to see tides here as much. So I don't know if you've noticed that on Lake Superior, but like there's just not a whole lot of like tidal movement. Like the water might move a foot or so if it's like really windy. But and if you've never been to the Bay of Fundy or on an ocean, like this would be kind of surprising to you, but we would have like sometimes 28-foot tides. So they were called like a flood tide. So sometimes 28, maybe 30 feet. And the Bay of Fundy is kind of unique for how deep it is, but how huge the tides are. And so it was incredible, because sometimes we would leave in the morning to go fishing, and so you could walk off the wharf onto the boat literally like this. Like you could just step onto the boat and go. And then you would get in at night at low tide, and it would be 28 feet higher than this ceiling you'd have to climb to get to the top of the exact same wharf. Like that's how big the tides were in Graham and Ann. There's a point to this too. We've been here for the last little over a year now, and as we get together with other believers to pray for the city of Thunder Bay, I had a pastor years ago. He said that when God moves in a place, it's kind of like the tide moving into a harbor. So when the tide moves into a harbor, all of the fishing boats would rise up to the wharf, right? And if it didn't rise up, that would be a bad thing, because it meant the boat was sinking. And that did happen sometimes. There was boats that sunk. But typically, whenever the tide came in, all the boats would rise. And that's been the prayer that I've been praying for this city of Thunder Bay, and that I know a lot of people, not even just in this church, are praying, that God would move in such a way that churches all over the city would feel the effects of it. So in the same way that all of the ships rise with the tide, we're believing that God's going to do something awesome in the city of Thunder Bay, and churches all over this city are going to experience the effects of it. It's really exciting. And it's something that only God can do, which is why prayer is so important. And this week, I want to talk about prayer, because if you're tracking with where we're headed, we've been working through the book of Ephesians. And this week, we're in Ephesians chapter 3, and we're in the second half of it. And this section of the book of Ephesians, it's not even a very long section, Paul prays for this church in Ephesus. So he's specifically praying for this church. It's a group of people. So you and I tend to read things kind of as individuals. So we'll read something like this, and we'll hear the words that are being used, and we're thinking, I wish God would do that in me. Well, in this book of Ephesians, Paul is praying for this church, for this whole community as a group. And he's praying for some really powerful things. And this is the only time, and this might surprise you, you ever heard people talk about Jesus coming into your heart? Anybody ever hear that? You guys ever heard Jesus, you know, like, we're praying that Jesus comes into our heart, and like, maybe you prayed with somebody one time to receive Jesus into your heart. Well, it's interesting. There's no formula in Scripture that shows us how to, like, invite Jesus into our heart other than faith in him, right? But this is actually the only place in all of Scripture where it talks about Jesus dwelling inside of our hearts, okay? So it's a really powerful part of Scripture. And I always want to ask, as we start out, have you ever had your heart broken before? You don't have to say anything out loud about it, but I just want you to think about it for a second. Have you ever had your heart broken? When I was in high school, before I was married to Vicky, which I did actually marry Vicky while I was in high school, which is another whole story. I wasn't fully graduated from high school when we got married, which was awesome. But before I was dating Vicky, I dated this other girl. I was in about grade 9, and she was another pastor's daughter, and they were from Prince Edward Island, and I was like really in love, okay? So, and if you know anything about me, I have this like intensity, okay? So like I have this like, I just want things right now, right? And so even when I tell you that I'm praying that God's gonna move in the city of Thunder Bay, thank you. I'm like, I want it right now. Like, I just want God to do things right now and be whatever. So there's this intensity about me. And I think it kind of scared this girl because she dumped me 4 times. Because, like, we would get back together and then she would dump me again. And this is true. One time I woke up, I'm grade 9, okay? I woke up in the middle of the night crying because I was so upset that this girl, because in my mind, like, I already had, like, 4 kids, we're married, like, we're like, no. But, like, there's just this intensity about me. And so, like, when she dumped me, I was really brokenhearted and really upset about it. I eventually get over it, obviously. I'm married and I have 4 and a half really beautiful kids. Lucy's birthday is today, by the way, so our youngest, this is a rabbit trail. But she's 5 today, and she just got her earrings done yesterday, super brave, with, like, the needle going through. And it was really painful, and she cried, but she still went through with the second one. She's awesome. So obviously, God has healed my heart relationally. But as I was getting ready to talk about this, and I was thinking about what Paul prays for this church in Ephesus, that Jesus would dwell in your hearts. Do you know that the real healing in my heart comes from my relationship with God? So God used Vicky, obviously, in my life to bring healing. I love my wife, and I can't even imagine not being married to her. I'm thankful for our family. I'm just thankful for our relationship. So God's used Vicky to bring healing, but that isn't the final healing. And I want to challenge you to think about, like, broken heart and going through difficult times. You can't experience the kind of healing that God gives with another person. Like, that person can't be what sustains you or heals you. And I'm going to tell a story about later, just about how fragile life is. Do you know that the people that we love the most can't guarantee to us that they'll be there tomorrow? So God has used Vicky in my life in amazing ways and in powerful ways, and I love her, and I'm so thankful for her, but she can't possibly be my source because she's not in control of her life. She's not in control of tomorrow, just like I'm not in control of whether I'll be here tomorrow. So we can't find this inner strength in our hearts in anybody other than God. Like, he's the only one that is actually consistent and constant. When God says that he's going to do something, he's the only one that can actually come through on the promise, no questions asked. Even with my kids, I try to be a dad that follows through on his word, and I don't always, and my kids will remind me, well, you said that you would do this, and I'm like, oh yeah. But I really try my hardest to be the kind of dad that does what I say. But if I'm being honest, I can't guarantee to my kids that tomorrow I'll do such and such. Because I can't guarantee that tomorrow I'll even be around. Which is a scary thought. And the story I'll tell later, like, I, as a lobster fisherman, I had some near-death experiences that were, like, they were near death. just like, there's really no other way to say it. They were just near-death experiences. So I can't guarantee that I'll be around tomorrow. Life is fragile. But God, when he says something, it's sure. It's solid. It's constant. So where else could you find healing? Where else could you find consistency other than in this relationship with God that is available to us? And so I want to encourage you, as we talk about this passage today, if you've tried to find healing in a person or in a relationship, or even in some kind of a pursuit, you won't find it there. If you've tried to find peace, the whole theme of what we're talking about in the book of Ephesians is peaceful living. So the theme of this book is when God makes things right in our hearts, we come to a place of just being at peace with him. And if you're trying to find that peace in a person, a relationship, or even a pursuit like a career or success, you can't find it. But it can be found in God because he's the only one that is constant, consistent, always there. And so and I just want to kind of lay this out. So this prayer, it's in Ephesians chapter 3. verses 14 through 21, and we're picking up. So if you have a Bible, and I'm going to put the scripture up on the screen in a couple seconds, but in verse 22 of chapter 2, Paul says, "And in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." So what Paul is saying is that you, God is building you, us, together, so that he can dwell by his Spirit in our midst. Like, the way God wants to reveal himself to Thunder Bay is through us, the way that we love each other, the way that we reach out to the city together. He's building us into his church to be his arms and hands and feet to this world. Like, that's the work that he's doing. And then we talked last week about how the first 13 verses of chapter 3, Paul gets a little bit sidetracked. And you notice, like, speakers, that happens too. Like, sometimes I'll say a word, and then I'm like, I think of a story, and then I'm way off somewhere else. And sometimes it's really bad. You get off on this, like, rabbit trail, and you're like, how did I get here? And how do I get back to where I was, right? Which is kind of dangerous. That wasn't the kind of rabbit trail Paul took. But Paul did take a rabbit trail. So last week we talked about Paul, in the first 13 verses of chapter 3, talked about his own call. But he was about to start praying before he gets into this little rabbit trail. And so this week we're going to talk about his prayer. And the reason we know that he kind of took a rabbit trail is because in verse 1 of chapter 3, he says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles," and then he launches into this whole other direction. And then in the text we're looking at this week, verse 14, he says, "For this reason." And so the reason he's referring to is God wants to make you and I into his dwelling place. That's what Paul's talking about at this point in Ephesians. God forming us into his body. He's going to reveal his heart to the world through us, his church. And so that's what we're going to get into. And I just wanted to put this up on the screen before we put the scripture up. When Paul prays, and I just want you to, if I mess this up today, like, it's my prayer, honestly, is I just want you to hear from God. I want you to see what he's saying in his word. And so I just want to put this up so that you're kind of understanding what the prayer is. And hopefully I don't distract you from what God is saying. And so my prayer is that God, you're going to hear him. But I wanted to put this up before we get into what Paul is praying for. But what he's praying for, he's praying to God, who's the Father, okay? And Paul makes it so clear in Ephesians that there's one God, one Father, one Lord, and that's revealed in Jesus Christ. So he's praying to God, and he's praying, okay, for inner strength. And I mean, like, do you long to have an inner strength? Like, an inner strength that makes you unshakable. Have you ever been around someone that just, like, they walk in a confidence and a peace, no matter what's going on, and they're just unshakable, and you go, man, I wish I could have that. Like, Paul is praying for that for this church in Ephesus, and for us today, that's our prayer. So he's praying to God for inner strength and for an understanding of God's amazing love. And then he closes with a reminder that God can do the impossible. And so it's really, and I was thinking about this prayer, like, Paul, in the book of Ephesians, he only prays twice, and then he does a whole bunch of teaching. But in the prayer that he's praying for this church, he's praying for some things that are more important than we realize. He's praying that God would give this church in Ephesus this inner strength that makes them unshakable, unmovable. And he's praying that they would come to an awareness of God's amazing love for them, that they would be rooted in this love. Like, they would understand the height and width and breadth of God's love. Like, that's what he's praying for. Because what he's saying to God is if the Ephesians can understand that, then they're going to live out your truth. And that's what I would say to us today is before we read the scripture, if this prayer gets answered in our lives as Transformation Church, we're going to see incredible things happen in this neighborhood, in our lives, and in this city. And that's what Paul is praying for this church. Like, his desire is to see them come to a place where they're just filled with this inner strength and also an understanding of his incredible love. So I'm going to pray before we read this prayer that God will just speak to us as we read it, and then we'll read through it. Lord, I just want to thank you for your word. And God, I just pray that as we read your scripture today, that we would understand what it means for us right now in our situations and in our lives. And I pray that, God, we would get to a place where we're strong in you, where we're unmovable, and where we understand your love for us and for the world. Please let this prayer be answered in our lives this day and going forward. And Lord, we know that only you can do that. It's only by your incredible, miraculous power that this prayer can be answered in our lives. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So you're good to flip through that, Tanner? All right. So chapter 3, starting in verse 14 down to 21, it says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So this prayer that Paul is praying, and I was thinking about it as I was getting ready. If I could have a prayer answered in the lives of my kids, this would be it. So I just want you to think about, as a parent, or as somebody who has a loved one that you're concerned for, like, aren't there desires in your heart for those loved ones? Like, don't you have, like, desires to see them healed and made whole and be filled with confidence and just go through life well? Like, if this prayer is answered in a person's life, they're going to make it. They're going to be okay. And as a dad, I said I had 4 kids and one on the way. Like, if I was to die tomorrow, I have this desire that my kids are going to go on and be able to serve God confidently and be able to understand who he is and what he says about them, which will make it so that they're okay in life. And as I'm reading through this prayer, I'm like, if this prayer gets answered in my children's lives, then I could die a happy man. I'll know that they've got this inner strength with God, that they understand his love for them. They're going to be okay. It's this powerful prayer. But Paul says something in the first part of it. He says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." So, and there's a lot of debate about what Paul meant by this, but he's praying to God, and he says, "God, you're the Father, you're the one that's over all of creation, and every family in heaven and on earth derives its name from you." Do you know the whole idea of fatherhood comes from God? Like, but for a lot of us, that's a stumbling block. And I'm not going to ask for you to raise your hands with this, but some of you have been hurt by fathers. Some of you have been deeply hurt by fathers. And not even necessarily just biological fathers, but authority figures. In this prayer, Paul says the whole idea of fatherhood, the whole idea of even authority, comes from God. So for some of us, it's hard to see God that way because we've been so hurt by authority figures and father figures. I didn't make any plans with the worship team this morning as far as what they were going to sing. And we were downstairs getting ready, and I heard them singing through the song, "Good, Good Father." And I was thinking, well, that's really kind of neat because I wanted to talk about that today, about God being a good father. But for some of you, if you're honest, that's a bit of a stumbling block. Maybe you've been deeply hurt by your dad. I grew up watching action movies, and I always loved, like it was actually specifically Jackie Chan movies that I really liked. And so there was always people like jumping in front of bullets and doing all these crazy things. And I had a good relationship with my dad. I was really blessed to have a dad that had been totally transformed by Jesus. Like he's a transformed man. And when he shares his testimony, it's like he's talking about a different person that did all these horrible things that landed him in prison. Because the dad that I grew up seeing was a loving and kind father. And so watching these action movies, I used to imagine, like, man, if somebody ever came in, I'd watch my dad preach, and I'd be, like, at the back of our mission, and I'd be seeing him preach. And I'd have these, like, I don't know why, it just gives you an insight into the weirdness of my thinking. But I would have these, like, thoughts of somebody coming in to attack my dad, and I would, like, jump in front and take a bullet for him, and he's preaching, so I was hearing nothing that he was saying, just imagining, like, I wish I could just save him someday and do something really epic. But I really loved my dad. And then, as I got older, I heard the scripture where it talks about, as followers of Jesus, that we've got to love God more than anybody else in the world. And it really bothered me, because I thought, so I have to love God more than my dad? Like, And I had a hard time with that. And I remember having this conversation with my dad, and I was like, "So, Dad, what if like I love God like this much, and then you're just like right here, like just a little bit low below it, right? Is that okay? Like, is God gonna be okay with that, or do you have to be like way down here? Like, do I have to love God way more than you?" Because I had a hard time imagining that I could love someone more than I love my dad. And he would just work with me as a child, and he's like, "That's fine, Nate. You can love God as long as you love God more." But I was thinking about this today. In some ways, if you've been hurt by a father, you may be even further ahead than somebody who grew up with a good version of a dad. So for me, growing up, I always heard testimonies of people that had like crazy radical backgrounds where they'd been severely abused. Some of my closest friends growing up would tell me these stories that rocked me about some of the abuse that they endured. So neglect, physical abuse, sexual abuse, just horrible things by fathers, by authority figures, and it was crazy. And there's a verse in Scripture that says, "He who's been forgiven much loves much." And that principle applies. Like, he who's been healed of much loves much. And so I, my whole life, saw people that had these crazy backgrounds that would encounter God, and their hearts were just so filled with love for Him. And what I want to say to you today, maybe you're somebody who's had a bad experience with authority or with a father, and so it's been hard for you to think about God as this loving, good father. But I want to say to you, whatever you've experienced that's been a bad example of authority and of a father, that's just the opposite of who God is. God is so loving and kind and merciful and compassionate and filled with grace. And so if you've got a bad example in your mind, if you've been hurt by authority, first, I just want to say I'm sorry for how you've been hurt by authority or for the bad examples you may have seen as a father or fatherhood or authority. But just know that God is nothing like that. When Paul says that all of that fatherhood comes from God, he says, "From whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name." The whole idea, the whole concept of fatherhood derives its name from God. But God is amazing and good and awesome. And so even if you've been hurt, I just want to encourage you, open your heart up to God, because He loves you more than I could ever put into words. And so especially if you're sitting here thinking, "Well, I've been hurt, you don't understand," like, you may actually be in a better situation to experience God's love, because the contrast is great. And He really, really loves you. And whenever I get ready to talk about these kinds of things, I always think, and maybe it's because of my context of where I grew up, but I grew up in a place that reached out to ex-cons and people that were caught up in drugs and prostitution. And so I've always had this awareness of people that have been just so badly hurt. And so when I talk about something like fatherhood, I'm just aware that there's people sitting here now that have just been negatively impacted by what you've experienced growing up. But the hope that's in God is amazing. And I want you to know that. Like, what God is offering in Scripture and what He says about you and I is absolutely incredible. And Paul is praying to this amazing Father, to this good Father, to this God that's in charge of everything for this church of in Ephesus. And it's the prayer that we're praying right now for Transformation Church, for you. And so I want to encourage you, just turn your heart towards the Lord, even if you've been hurt in the past by authority figures in your life. And so Paul prays for, this is incredible. So the next section of his prayer, so he's praying to God, he's praying to the Father, and he prays that God will strengthen yours and mine inner being. So he says, "I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." You know, and if you were at the backpack giveaway this summer, I did a little bit of breakdancing. And I used to, when we traveled around and did like outreach, evangelism stuff, I used to do a lot of breakdancing on the streets. And there was this move that I was trying to learn. It's called a windmill. And it's really hard to do, okay? I'm not going to try it because I would smash the mic. That's on me. But this windmill, it's super cool, and I almost got it. But I found this YouTube video of a guy that was training people how to do windmills. And like, I don't know why, but his words have always stuck out to me. But he was like, he looked directly into the camera and he was like, "You are a powerful being. That is what you are. right? And he was like, you can do this. You can do this windmill. And I was like, my friend and I who were trying to learn this move, this windmill move, were like, that was ridiculous. But that's a really popular thought, that you and I are these powerful beings, right? That inside of us, there's this power. But what Paul is talking about, he's praying that God would strengthen you and I in our inner being so that Christ could dwell in our hearts by faith. Because Paul knows something that most of the world doesn't, that in us there is not power in and of ourselves, that the power is God's. And in us there's this, we're not as powerful as the world likes to say. You know, it's a really popular thought right now in culture to say, you know, you're powerful and you can go overcome anything and you can do it. And we can do a lot with our will. You know, our will is a pretty strong thing. God gave us this. But only God can give us this inner strength that is unshakable, right? And that's what Paul is talking about. So Paul would disagree with this breakdancer guy that was saying, you're this powerful being. And I said earlier I was going to tell this story. When I was lobster fishing, and maybe you are getting to know me a little bit, but sometimes I just do stupid things. Because, like, I don't know what it is, but I like adventure. And if somebody says that something's dangerous, it makes me want to do it even more, just to show them, like, it's not that bad. Like, it's not going to be that bad. Which is not great if you're, like, a lobster fisherman. And so when we would go lobster fishing, the way we did it in Graham and Ann, at least, was we would fish with 25 traps at a time, and they were all hooked together, okay? So the boat had this open-ended stern, and you would send the lobster traps off all hooked together with an anchor. So there was literally, like, hundreds and hundreds of pounds of weight going to the bottom of the ocean. And there's rope all running by your feet. And one time, I just wasn't paying attention, and my foot got caught in this rope, this trawl. And I remember standing there, and I was at the side of the boat, like, getting ready to pull the lobsters in, and the traps were going, and it caught my foot, and it pulled me, and it flipped me right down on my back. And so I was, like, on my back, and I had the rope was around my ankle, ready to pull me right up over the edge of the boat, sinking down to the bottom. Like, people have literally died that way. Vicky told me I had to stop telling these stories to her when I was fishing because she's like, I'm just afraid you're going to die. But anyway, I remember like hollering because as soon as my back hit the deck of the boat and I realized that I was connected to this like hundreds and hundreds of pounds of weight, I screamed. And so the captain let off the throttle of the boat and he put it in reverse so that we were headed towards the weight so it would make slack in the rope. And my friend was eventually able to like loosen the rope off my foot. But it was this scary moment because I got up and my heart, like I was just, like my heart was beating super fast and I was thinking like, I literally almost died. Like if, you know, that had been another 10 seconds, I could have been over the edge and headed to the bottom quick, right? And we used to strap a knife to like our straps and so that like if you did get caught, you could pull the knife off and cut it. But I always had these horrible visions. I was like I'd be like going down there in a panic and remember that this knife was there and go to pull it off and drop it and then like, that, like, I just was like, I don't think the knife thing is really going to work. Like, it makes me feel a little better that it's there, but pretty sure I would still head to bottom. But I got up and realized, like, I am not this powerful being. Like, life could be over so fast. And so the kind of power Paul is praying for here is that God would strengthen us with power through his Spirit in our inner beings so that Christ could dwell in our hearts through faith. You know the people that is true of in their life? That no matter what they face, there's this overarching peace. It doesn't mean that you don't feel afraid. It doesn't mean that you don't doubt sometimes. But overarching, you're like, no, I serve the creator of the universe who's in control. And he gives you the strength to face any situation. We don't have that strength on our own. There's lots of people that walk around and, you know, brag about this strength or think that there's all this power within them. But the truth is, the reality is that we don't have control of the next 10 minutes of our life, which is a scary thought. But Paul is talking about this inner strength. And when I was getting ready this week, I came across a quote. It says, Christianity, and I said this last week, and this just keeps coming up in the book of Ephesians. And this guy, he says it differently than the lady that I read last week. But he says, Christianity is an internal experience. God is far more concerned with what's going on within us than without. Do you know that God is concerned with your inner being? He's concerned with what goes on the inside of your heart and mind. For some of you, that means you need to experience healing from some of the things that have gone on in your life. And I want to encourage you, Christianity isn't about sweeping things under the rug. If you've been hurt and experienced abuse and some things in your life that you've just never been able to work through, you've got to face that head on. And I would encourage you to face those things head on. And so it's not about sweeping things under the rug, but what God wants to do is an internal work inside of your heart and your mind. God is way more concerned with what's going on inside than without. And like, as a pastor, I realize that all the time because I'm not above anybody else. You know, as like, it's not like I have this secret connection with God that no one else has. I struggle with the same things that everybody else struggles with. And sometimes as a pastor, realizing I got to get up and preach or communicate and talk about Jesus, there's this idea sometimes that like, oh, well, the pastor's this, he's got this secret connection. He's closer to God and things are easier for him. These truths are as much for me as they are for anybody else. God is not as concerned with whether or not this church grows, whether or not things happen that look really good on the outside. He's concerned with my inner being. And he's concerned with you. He's not as concerned with whether or not your career goes really well or things look great on your, in your family. You know, and it's, I was being somebody that's part of the younger generation, like we're really active on social media. You know, it's really easy for me to go on Instagram or Facebook and make my life look awesome even if I'm struggling. Like God doesn't look at our outward appearance. He doesn't look at our Facebook account and be like, things are going well with him, right? Like he's just not fooled by that. He wants to see this inner strength inside of you and I. That's what Paul is praying for, this inner strength, so that Christ could dwell in our hearts. And do you know that this word dwell, it's only used 3 times in the New Testament, and what Paul is saying is that Jesus takes up permanent residence inside of your heart. The word heart just means the seat of your emotions. It's where everything happens on the inside of your being, your thoughts, everything goes on in your heart and in your inner being. And Paul is praying that God would strengthen your inner being so that Christ could dwell in your heart. Not visit. You know, you ever have friends that you're like, I'm glad they're just visiting, but it's time to go, right? Like, that's a visit, right? They stay for a little while and you're like, thank the Lord, you know, you guys are going home, or your family, whatever, maybe you have a family member like that. Well, it's different with Jesus because what Paul is praying for us is that Christ would permanently dwell, take up residence inside of our hearts. And that's the prayer. Do you know, if you get to the point, and I get excited when I think about this, where Jesus dwells on the inside of your being, you're unshakable. There's this peace in your life. It doesn't mean that you don't get afraid sometimes or you don't get worried or you don't face the same difficulties that other people face. But at the end of the day, you're at peace because you know that your heart is right with God and that he's going to get you through. Christians go through all kinds of things just like everybody else. The scriptures don't promise us that we're not going to face difficulty and tough times. Actually, sometimes Christians go through more difficulty and tough times, and it's a testimony to the power of God at work. Some of the most incredible testimonies of how God has worked in people's lives are the people that have suffered the most. Because they're suffering, and there's this hope, and there's this peace, and there's this joy that just won't, it just can't leave. And that's what Paul's praying for. He's saying, yes, you're going to face difficulty. Yes, you're going to face challenges. Yes, you're going to face the same things everybody else faces. But if you can get this inner strength where Jesus dwells permanently inside of your heart and inside of your being, you're going to make it and you're going to be okay. He's praying for this long-lasting, residing presence of God in our lives. And so, yeah, and again, it's permanent. It's something that doesn't go away. Jesus models this. So I put this up on the screen if you want to write it down. But Jesus, when he was here in person, body, physical form, he models this inner strength. When Jesus is forsaken, he quotes God's word. When he's betrayed, he quotes God's word. In the middle of being killed, he quotes God's word. Like his inner being was so strong, was so filled up with God that no matter what situation he faced, he was able to quote God's word. Do you know that scripture, the reason God gave us his word, gave us his scripture, so that he could strengthen us in our inner being, so that Christ could permanently dwell in our hearts. And Jesus models this. You know, we don't think about this as often as we should, but Jesus was betrayed by his closest friends. The people in the world that were the closest to him stabbed him in the back. Jesus was physically abused beyond what any of us have experienced ever. But he was not shaken. He was, you can see it when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's praying, Lord, let this cup pass from me. He struggled like you and I struggle with suffering and asking the Lord, you know, let me be able to face this a different way. But at the end of the day, he was unshaken because in his inner being, God's presence dwelt. And you and I can do that when we're forsaken, when we're betrayed, when we're killed, that the presence of Christ can dwell in us and make us unmovable. And those scripture references that you see up beside each of those words are Jesus' words in those situations. And each time, he's just quoting scripture. Like, it's incredible. He faces this really difficult time. And it's not like a quick cliche, there's nothing that bugs me more. Well, maybe. There's probably a couple things that bug me more. But there's not very many things that bug me more than like a quick cliche Christian answer. You know, when somebody's like talking to you about their hard time, maybe you've had this experience, you know, and you're just pouring your heart out and it's really struggling. And they're just like, well, just pray more. And you're like, you just want to, oh, just slap. I'm just joking. But what I mean by that is when it's not filled with compassion, when it's not filled with this love, because sometimes, and Jesus modeled this, when people came to him with their concerns, he would listen as they poured out their hearts to him. And so when I talk about this, I'm not talking about just quick cliche, like you just say a scripture and all of a sudden you feel better. Jesus embodied this stuff. So when he was being forsaken, betrayed, killed, it's not that it didn't bother him. It's not that he didn't struggle. But he believed with all of his heart God's word was more true than his experiences around him. And you and I can get to that place. That's why I said earlier, like, as a dad, I want my kids to experience this. Because I know I'm not going to be with my kids all the time. And they're going to face hard times. They've come home and tell me stories of some of the things that their friends have said to them. And as a dad, it's just like, I don't know if you've had this experience, but you just want to be there to protect them all the time and make sure nothing bad ever happens to them. But the truth is, they're going to face times that are difficult and incredibly challenging. But when this prayer is true in their life and they've got this presence of Christ dwelling in their heart, I know they're going to be okay. And that's what I think about for us as Transformation Church. You're going to face difficult and challenging times, things that are going to make you just want to give up. And it's going to be difficult and overwhelming. But when Christ dwells in your heart permanently, where he takes up residence, there's just this knowing things are going to be okay. God's going to work this out. And that can be true of you. And that's why this is almost, it's kind of hard to preach this because it's a prayer. And I want to close off, and when I'm done, I want to pray through this prayer in Ephesians. But when William Barclay says something really powerful, he said, the secret of strength is the presence of Christ within our lives. Like that, you know, that breakdancer instructor that said to me, like he said on the video, you are a powerful being. You know, that is what you are. Like that could lead me astray, because when I face a situation that makes me realize I'm not that powerful, I don't even have control of the next 10 minutes, well, that whole way of thinking is not going to get me very far. But what Barclay's talking about here is like the secret of strength is the presence of Christ in your life. When Jesus takes up permanent residence in your being, when he dwells inside of you in a way that just is lasting and never goes away, there's this strength that you're able to walk in and face every situation. And that's not saying, oh, you're never going to face hard times. You will, but you'll be able to face it because of Christ's presence in your life. And the last part of what Paul is saying here, it's in the last part of the prayer. I just want to read to you what he says. So Paul says, and this, he's talking about being rooted in love, okay? So he prays for this inner strength, and then he prays that we'd be rooted and grounded in love. And he says, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people. And that's powerful. Paul's not just praying for you and I individually, because we're together. We are this community, this church together. And the prayer is that we would understand this collectively as a community. So together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So our motivation to follow Jesus can only be motivated by love. Some people's motivation to follow God is motivated by fear. Well, I'm just afraid that I'm going to be judged, or that I'm going to go to hell someday if I don't do all that I'm supposed to do. That won't keep you following God. But if you understand God's love for you, nothing can take you away from that. And that's my prayer today, and I want to pray through this prayer before we're done. But my desire is that this would be true of us, that we would come to an understanding of God's amazing love for us, the height, the depth, the width of his love. My father-in-law, Randy, he's been here before. I used to tell the story when I was younger about this woman who had grown up, and it's a really powerful story, but she'd grown up in the home of a mother who had these like scars all over her face, like, and she like really, really badly scarred. And as she got older, she was embarrassed of her mom when her friends would come around because, you know, she had all these scars and it made people feel uncomfortable. And she had her friends coming over to her house one night, and she asked her mom, she said, "Mom, would you sit in the back room when my friends are there? Because it just makes people feel uncomfortable the way that you look." And so her mother did, and obviously it bothered her mom, and she was, you know, upset about it. And her uncle, this girl's uncle, found out about this girl asking her mom to sit in the back room and that she was embarrassed of her scars. And he talked to her and explained to her, he said, "Do you know where your mother got those scars?" And she said, "No, we've never talked about it." And he told her, "When you were just a baby, there was a house fire, and your mother was outside, had been taken out by the firefighters, and realized you were still inside upstairs. So she had to run back in and get you, and on the way out, she was burned so badly, like she almost didn't even make it, and she had, that's why she has all of these scars." Well, something in this girl shifted, because she took her mom to the mall and went and said, "I'm going to buy you a dress," and everybody, when she was walking through the mall, people would give this her mom like a funny look, and she would stop them and explain to them, "Do you know where my mom got those scars? She got those scars because she saved me." And so her understanding of her mother's love just changed everything. Like, it shifted her whole desire to be around her mom. And it's the same in our relationship with God. When we understand Christ's love for us, we'll never turn our backs. Like, and it's possible to come to this understanding of Jesus' love for you and the sacrifice that he made for us. It's only possible when God reveals it to us by his Holy Spirit. But what I want to encourage you with today, what Paul is praying for, is that we would be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. Like, that we would understand the height and width and depth of his love for us. And that's my prayer for us, because honestly, me just being afraid of God's judgment isn't going to keep me following him through difficult, challenging, tough times. But it's an understanding of his love that gives me hope. Honestly, and I don't know if you get discouraged when you read the news or watch the news, but sometimes I do. I see what's going on in the world, and I'm like, man, things are so bad. Like, it's just crazy, all the things that are going on, and all the things that have happened when you study history, and all of the horrible things that have sometimes been done in the name of God or in the name of religion, all these horrible things, and it bothers me. But then I'm reminded of God's incredible love. And there's this hope. And you know, and Paul is praying for this community. And I want to say, what God wants to do inside of us is to reveal that now. Where's Carol? Carol, she wasn't here last week, and I was telling her I was so glad that she was here. And she was saying she just missed being around her family here at the church. She was telling me that this morning, and I was thinking, that's because the love that God is putting inside of our hearts for each other is a picture of what eternity is like in Jesus. That this love that you and I have for each other is eternal. It's permanent. It means we rejoice with each other when there's times to rejoice. We mourn with each other when there's time to mourn. And that love is possible by the power of God. And so when Paul finishes his prayer, it's a really powerful finish to the prayer, because he just says to God, in verse 20, he says, "Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever." And Paul, in finishing this prayer, realizes only God can do this in our lives. You know, this inner strength that I'm talking about, this place of just confidence in the love and grace of God, this awareness of his love, is something that only God can do inside of people. And that's one of the things that we pray for on a regular basis as a church leadership team, is that God would reveal to you his incredible love for you. That God would fill you with his Holy Spirit to give you the strength to walk with him. And that he would fill us as his community with love that reflects what eternity is going to look like. And so I'm going to call the worship team to come up in a minute, but before I do, I'm just wondering if we can just close our eyes, and I just want to pray through this prayer. And this is something that over the years I've done a lot, and I haven't done it here, but we're in this section of the book of Ephesians, and I just thought, where it's a prayer, I want to pray this over our church. And so if you have a Bible and you want to follow through this section, you can. I'm just going to pray this prayer over us, and I'm going to call the worship team up. So for this reason, Lord, I kneel before you, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And God, I pray that out of your glorious riches, that you would strengthen us here at Transformation Church with power through your Holy Spirit in our inner being, so that Jesus Christ would dwell in our hearts here at Transformation Church through faith. And Lord, I pray that we would be rooted and established in love. And God, that you would give us the power, together with all of your holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And that we would know this love that surpasses knowledge. Lord, that you would fill us to the measure of the fullness of God, that we would be filled up with you, Lord. And Lord, you are the only one who's able, and you can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to your power that is at work within us. To you be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And God, I just thank you for this prayer, and I just pray that we would experience the reality of that in our lives. That Jesus, and I know there's people here today that maybe don't know you or don't have this experience of you in their lives, and I pray, Jesus, that you would reveal to them your love for them. Reveal to them that they can have you dwelling on the inside of their lives permanently. And God, I just pray that you would continue to reveal yourself to us in an absolutely powerful and life-changing way. And I pray that you would help us to become a church in this city that shows your love and your grace to all of those around us, Lord. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.